You're listening to the Play, Teach, Talk podcast. I'm Tiffany Thompson, a speech pathologist with over 20 years of expertise in working with children under 3 years of age and their families to help them understand language and communicate more effectively. My specialty is in working with emerging communicators with few or no true words to reduce their frustration, help them interact and play with their peers and family, and learn to truly enjoy the back and forth of functional communication throughout their daily routines. This podcast is not intended to diagnose speech-language disorders, but is more of a general set of suggestions for children who are experiencing delays in their language skills. For recommendations or therapy specific to your child's needs, consultation or evaluation with a licensed speech-language pathologist in your city is highly suggested. This is Season 4, Episode 21 of the Play, Teach, Talk podcast. Reviewing timeout. I led a family through the timeout procedure recently for one of their kiddos that was testing limits. And I realized that, again, in this teaching of behavioral techniques, it's hard because you want to make sure that you're helping parents understand why we're doing certain things that we're doing. So I wanted to review the specific things you do in a timeout routine to help a child with learning what the rules and the consequences of not following those rules are, and kind of the idea behind why we do things the way that we do them. So basically, the first thing you want to do is, let's say your rules, you set up your rules. We talked about kind of looking at that bad behavior in a previous episode. Bad behavior, why that's happening, and is everybody setting the same limits? So let's say you sat down, you know that the people who are caregiving your child all have basically the same rules for the child so that they're not having to do different things or they don't know what their limits are. So that's not a reason why they're breaking rules. If you have consistent rules, that's where things like timeout can be really, really helpful, because what that does is it takes the structure of the rules that you've created by yourself and with the other caregivers the child works with, and then it gives you a good way to reinforce those rules and to help a child understand what they're being expected to do, while still letting them know that they are loved and that they are accepted, even if they choose to break a rule, okay? So what is the first thing that you want to do in a timeout? Your child has broken a rule. Maybe we don't throw a ball in the house, and you say to them one time, usually what we want to do is we also don't want to just, you know, say don't do something and then put a child in timeout. Usually you want to restate at least twice, maybe three times, if you want to do kind of like a 1-2-3 idea for a timeout. I told you don't throw the ball in the house. Child looks at you, gives you that look that toddlers can give you, throws the ball again, and you say, if you throw the ball again, you're going into timeout. Kid looks at you again, little half smirk, because they do that, and then they throw the ball again. So here's how we do a timeout. This is how it starts. You go over to them and you say, you threw the ball after I told you a few times that you were going to go into timeout, even though you threw the ball. Now it's time for your timeout. Okay, so the next place we're going to do is we're going to go where the timeout is. And one very crucial thing is, if you're going to do timeout, you want to find a place that's really boring for that child. There's not a TV they can watch when they're in timeout. There's not a toy that they can play with. You want to find the most boring place in your house, basically. And you do want somewhere where the child can sit. So you kind of don't want them to be like on the floor, sitting on the floor. If you can have a small child-sized seat or something like that, that could be a place where they go. It needs to be a place that's quiet, where they're not going to get a lot of focus on them. And then the rule, the main rule, is somewhere around 1 minute for each year that the child is of age. So usually by one, we're not having any big testing with boundaries and rules. But by 2 to 3, that's when we're starting to have some rule breaking and possibly some timeouts. So usually we start with like 2 minutes, and then you can increase depending on how old the child is. So you either set a timer, you can do one that's like one of those egg timers that has a dial you can twist that dings. I have a good timer app that works and has a picture that gets revealed when you're doing that timeout, so the kid knows when it's over. And then there's this next crucial piece, okay? So it's going to take a little while for the child to understand what is expected of them even in this timeout. You want them to sit there for the duration of that timer. So 2 minutes can feel so long. The major idea is when you put them into timeout, you've already told them what the consequences are. You've already told them it's time for timeout, and you've already told them what they did to get them in there. So your purpose at this point is just to make sure that they stay in that area. You want them to continue to sit down, but here's the place where you don't use words. You don't have to use words. You don't have to say, I told you no. In fact, what you really want to do is almost not really have any reaction at all other than silently putting them back where they were. Okay, so the idea there is you don't need to continue with the dialogue. The stressful like words, the stress behind your voice is going to show, and you're going to be in that task of trying to get that child to stay in that timeout area, and that's where your focus needs to be. You don't want to use more words at this point until it's over. Okay, so let's say you've gotten past. You may have to on the first or second try with this. Maybe even the fifth try, it depends on how willful your child is, but you may have to put them back on the step or the bench or the chair 20 times in that 2 minute timeout. It's okay. This is, you know, again, I love kids that know that what they want and they're willing to push those boundaries and they've got to find out and they have to test. That's not a bad thing. That's a normal developmental thing. So if your child has to test to find out what the rules are about how you set a limit, there's nothing wrong with that. But you just keep putting them back. You keep going, okay, this is the rule. This is what we're going to do. All right. So you've put them in timeout. They've gotten up maybe a couple of times to try to refuse it. You're not going to make too much eye contact. You're not going to use words. You're just going to put them back so that they understand this is where we're supposed to be. When the timer goes off, get down to their level, look at them in the eye and say, Mommy put you in timeout, or whatever the caregiver's name is, Mommy put you in timeout because you threw a ball inside and we have a rule that we throw balls outside. We're not going to do that again, right? So you're sorry? Sorry. Then you give them a big hug. This is the biggest, biggest part of this, okay? You didn't discipline a child by spanking them or hitting them or doing anything like that. What you basically said is you don't get to be in the middle of play and do enjoyable things when you break rules. What you did is not approved of, but you I love. So we're not really trying to juxtapose anything like some sort of punishment out with a hug and saying I can punish and love you at the same time. What you're basically saying is, I don't like this behavior. You broke a rule and we don't do that in this house. But I still love you. It's not that you're bad. You're not bad. That behavior is bad. Okay. So that's the idea behind why at the end of a timeout, you say, you know, basically this is why we went into timeout. And then you give them a big hug and say, okay, go have fun, go play. And then you kind of go back into that timeout procedure again, if you have to, but just wanted to review this because I think it can get a little fuzzy, especially that part where when you're trying to reinforce that timeout and the child is getting a little squirrely and they want to get up from their step or their bench and it's hard not to say anything. It really is sometimes when they're in the middle of defying you, but that's the whole point. That's where we have to be the adults and we have to just kind of turn the volume off, turn the words off and just show them, okay, this is what the expectation is. And when you get done, we're going to go play again. I hope this is helpful. I'm going to put a whole bunch of links in the show notes as well if you want to look it up. I try to only go to websites that are well-known parenting sites as well as the psychology sites because I want to make sure I'm giving you good information, but way over anything like spanking or any sort of really punishment-based things. This timeout really does make it clear. This you didn't do what was expected, and we're going to take you out of the game. You don't get to play for a second just to think about, let's not break these rules that we've set. And if your rules are reasonable, you know, if you've set up rules that are developmentally appropriate for your child and they're reasonable and they keep them from being harmed, then there's a reason to reinforce those rules. So I think that's, again, part of what we have to think about when we're deciding what those rules are. Have you set up rules that are developmentally appropriate and that make sense to the child?